My brothers and sisters, I don't want to throw around big highfalutin fancy phrases, but there is a Latin phrase, I believe, Lectio Divina, that I just want to throw at you. It simply means divine reading. It means very prayerfully sitting with Scripture, slowly reading it, reading a passage like the Gospel reading, and really thinking about what's happening, really putting ourselves in the picture, so to speak. Maybe even in the place of one of the characters in the reading. For example, St. Peter today. Let's really think about what's happened to St. Peter in the weeks preceding the action in today's Gospel reading. At the Last Supper, he told Jesus that he would die before he denied him. Then what did he do? A few hours later, he went out and did exactly that. And he wept bitterly, thinking that all was lost. The next day, after the crucifixion, he must have really felt that all was lost. But then, the resurrection. Peter should have felt pure joy. But there was this matter of the denial, which must have weighed heavily on his conscience. Think about it. Jesus had already appeared twice to his disciples. So Peter should have been very excited and energized to begin the challenge of spreading the gospel. But what does he do? He reverts back to his old way of life, his prior profession, so to speak. He goes back to his comfort zone, kind of stuck in this place with his conscience. He reverts to the familiar. I am going fishing. But Jesus wouldn't have it. He comes and turns things around. The gospel says that Peter was distressed because the Lord had asked him three times, "Do you love me?" But often healing requires a little bit of pain. And the Lord healed Peter of the shame he felt after he denied him. Peter, who denied Jesus three times, got the chance to declare his love for Jesus three times, and thus found forgiveness, redemption, and new hope. And isn't that life for all of us, as individuals, as families, as communities? Life is filled with disappointments and setbacks, seeming defeats and deaths, but then joyful surprises and progress, victory and new life. I've experienced this as the pastor of our parish. 3 years ago, I was feeling at times discouraged and overwhelmed, trying to take on the challenges of our faith community. I had a lot of help, but there was some missing element. Then God inspired me to form a parish council. And it has been one of the most satisfying and helpful experiences I've had in my 24 years as a priest and in my, can't believe it, 18 years as a pastor. I must have done the math wrong on that. I can't be that old. These 11 people are among the finest I've ever worked with. And they have been an enormous help in taking on the work and the challenges of the parish, helping to solve problems and set a direction for the future. As I hope you read in my bulletin column last weekend, the time has come to replace three of them. I don't want to let any of them go, but that's part of the process. And there is a process in place to nominate candidates and elect new members. People will now go go around the church and hand out nomination forms and a pencil if you need one, but I think the pencils are in the pews already. We will take some time after the homily so those who are ready can write down the names of candidates and place the folded forms in the regular offertory baskets. If you're not ready to do that today, you can take a form home and continue to pray over it, but I do ask that you return the forms either to me or Father Carlos or Deacon Juan or to the office by next Friday, May 6th. And please, if you didn't read it in my column last week, read the information, the same information on the nomination form about the criteria that council members should meet, the responsibilities of members, the election process. For example, I list the current members of the council, so you don't want to nominate any of them. The ones who are leaving are really leaving, and the ones who aren't are going to continue to serve. So it'll be a wasted nomination to put any of their names on the form. One of the huge things with which the parish council, along with the finance committee and others, have helped me is cutting parish expenses, raising funds, and getting the parish in better fiscal shape. My bulletin column this weekend is a financial report of sorts, which reviews some of the history, but it also looks to the future with both candor and hope. And before I say anything else, let me thank you again for all your support of the parish, financial and otherwise. It has been 3.5 years since I have asked us to prayerfully consider increasing our weekly or monthly sacrificial offering to God and each other. And it is time to do so again. Please, again, read carefully and prayerfully my column to prepare for next weekend's Pledge Sunday. A lot of information in there that I'm not going to repeat here because we'd be here all day. As you may recall, when we did this in November of 2018, we will have the pledge cards in the pews next weekend for us to fill out. And here is one of the new ones. In the front, it's got a picture of our patron, John Paul II. The scripture passage, "Freely you have received, freely give." On the other side, there's almost two identical halves. We fill out whatever we think God is asking us to give weekly or monthly. This is anonymous. Don't put your names on this. This is really a covenant between us and God. What will happen with these is after we fill out both sides, they're perforated, we'll separate them. The side that it says we're to take it home, we take it home, we post it somewhere where it will remind us of our pledge to God and each other. The other half will go in the collection basket, which will go into the chest that has been in front of Mary since November of 2018, because we will once again offer to God our sacrifice through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Notre Dame. Now, I do always try to sound upbeat and hopeful, and for good reason, but ultimately there's no way to make the considerable challenges that you will read about in the bulletin and that we have, other challenges we'll get to in due time. Far from seeming easy, at times it can seem like a real giant, like a Goliath. But remember, David trusted in the Lord of hosts, and he slew Goliath. Let's do the same, and remember that the Lord is always raising us up when things seem impossible. We have a wonderful faith community here. Let us be proud of it in the best sense of the word, and let the light of the risen Christ, which we find here, shine through us to attract more and more people to it. Let us pray to the Holy Spirit to bind us together more closely so that as the body of the risen Christ, we reclaim the gift of our faith and recommit ourselves to the care of our faith community with renewed fervor, asking the Spirit to lead us into the future boldly, unafraid of the challenges which lie ahead. Once again, and I can't say it enough, thank you for your generosity and prayerful consideration. It is a sacred trust which is always deeply appreciated and never, ever taken for granted. God love you.